So we're almost done with. We're going to just finish up the last thing about Hatov HaMeitiv. We raised the question yesterday: why is Hatov HaMeitiv only on wine? Why isn't it on basar, lechem? You know, there's so many things that can make a person happy. There's lots of joy a person can find in all sorts of different things. So why do we only say Hatov HaMeitiv on wine? So I found over here in the Masifta, he has a nice collection. The Rush in the ninth paragraph of Brachos in Simon Tezvav. Says that they asked Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi, why is it tafka on yayin that you make Hatov HaMeitiv and not on bread that you make Hatov HaMeitiv? And the Tosfos Maseches Brachos and Nun Tes Amud Beis also ask, why not on basar? Instead of asking about bread, Tosfos raises the question, why not on basar? But the question is the same question, why not on something else? So the Rabbeinu Peretz says, it's not a kasha on basar, meaning each Rishon asks the kasha the way they ask it because they don't think the other kasha is a kasha. Right, so if you're going to ask why not on basar, you're not going to ask why not on bread. So that I understand why you'd ask dafka on basar, not on bread. Why would you ask basar, not bread? Why would you ask that on basar we should make Hatov HaMeitiv, and you wouldn't even have a havamin of the bread, you should make Hatov HaMeitiv? Because mechit is that bread brings simcha. Bread's not simcha, bread's just a filler. Basar brings simcha. Ain't simcha basar, ain't simcha b'yayin. So I understand that way of asking it. But why would you ask like the Rush asked? The Rush asks, why do you do it? Why do we do it only on wine and not on bread? He doesn't ask, why don't we do it on basar? He just asks, why don't we do it on bread? So in Rabbeinu Peretz, he says that basar is not a kasha because they would never make a bracha on basar. You never make any bracha on basar. Why? Because they always have basar in the context of a suda. So they'd always wash. So there's never any bracha on basar. It's not going to ask, you should make Hatov HaMeitiv. You don't make a bracha rishona on basar. You make Hatov HaMeitiv. But on lechem, where you do make a bracha rishona, you make mostly lechem and aretz, because that's going to be what you're having your whole meal around. So then it makes sense that why don't you also say Hatov HaMeitiv? So you can understand either side, why you would ask the question one way, why you would ask the question the other way. Yeah?
Why should that matter? Why should the bracha rishona on the food itself make a difference?
So it sounds like Hatov HaMeitiv, even the way Tosfos phrases it over here, is that it's very much connected to a bracha rishona. Where did Tosfos say that you say Hatov HaMeitiv? When the Gemara says that Shino Yayin Ein Tzarech Levareich, oh, but you do say Hatov HaMeitiv. What does Hatov HaMeitiv have to do with Ein Tzarech Levareich? No, it sounds like that it's like in lieu of a bracha rishona almost. But you have to be magdir exactly what that tells us about it. But anyway, so the Ravid holds that we taka do make Hatov HaMeitiv. The Ran quotes from the Rav, we taka do make Hatov HaMeitiv on new bread. If a new kind of bread comes to the table, then you actually would make Hatov HaMeitiv. Most Rishonim hold that not so, that it's only on Yayin and not on bread. Yeah.
Isn't bread technically like the start of the meal though, so it's part of the meal, technically?
Yeah.
So why should you have to make a new bracha if there's more brought out?
So it would have to be a Shinui pas. It would have to, just like Shinui Yayin, it would have to be a new type of bread that you would make Hatov HaMeitiv. So Tosfos and Maseches Brachos and the Rush and Maseches Brachos, which you saw, the Rush writes that Yayin has two milos. There are two qualities that wine has. First of all, it satiates and it's also misameach. Bread satiates, but it's not misameach. So the Hatov HaMeitiv is nitzkan dafka on wine because it has both of those qualities. Ein omrim shira elala yayin, ein simcha ela b'yayin. So because it has these qualities, that's why we dafka do it on wine and not on bread. It has that additional element that it's mesameach. He says that's why also you don't make the same bracha on wine that you would in any other drink. Other drinks may satiate, may nourish you, but they get a shakal nibidvaro. But when you drink wine, it gets its own bracha bar priyagaf and the chashivas of the simcha and everything else that wine brings. So that's why it gets Hatov HaMeitiv dafka on yayin. That's one basic approach in the Rishonim as to why it's wine and not bread. Again, wine and not basar, they'll go with the approach, like Rabbeinu Peretz said, that basar is something you're generally not making bracha rishona on anyhow. The Ran, however, the Ran writes in the name of Chachmei HaTzarfatim that it's normal to eat in the Suuda a lot of different types of bread. So when you first make the bracha, you already have intention to eat all different types of bread. So there's no such thing as a shinui pas. Whereas by yayin, it's not normal to just change up the wine in the middle of the meal. You're having red wine, and then all of a sudden you decide, oh, you know, we'll go with white, or vice versa. So that's unusual. By bread, they always have all different types of bread in the middle of the meal. So if you can accept that answer, then a couple of points need to be made. First of all, would it depend on what's actually normal? Because nowadays, what's more common? That a new type of bread comes out or that a new type of wine comes out? Probably more common to have a new type of wine than a new type of bread. We barely even eat bread in our meal. You know, we have a little bit of bread, you know, in the meal. We have challah in the Shabbos meal. How much more bread comes out other than the challah in a typical Shabbos meal? Usually nothing. Right? It's just that one type of bread. So it's very, so maybe the Metzius has changed then. And then, meaning if it's all based on expectation, so if when one starts his meal, his expectation is not to have a different type of bread, so then when it comes out, you should make Hatov HaMetiv. And if your expectation is yes to have wine, and when it comes out, you wouldn't have to make Hatov HaMetiv. Luchar, if you would accept the Ran. What you also see from the Ran is we saw Machlokas in Beis Yosef yesterday, Machlokas Rishonim, what if you start the meal with two wines on the table? Do you say Atova Metiv? So one sheet in Rishon, Mordechai held, yeah, you'd still say Atova Metiv, even if you start with two wines on the table. You see, the Ran clearly holds not that way. Right? This Ran is clearly assuming not that way, because the Ran's assuming it's all based on expectation, which again, being Magdir Atova Metiv, it's not just the fact that you have this extra bracha of a different type of food slash wine, but it's in the surprise and the joy that something comes out, oh, new thing. It's the ischachus, the sense of ischachus that you have. But without that sense of ischachus, there would be no bracha. That's what it sounds like from this run, that it very much relates to the sense of ischachus that one gets from the wine. The other point he makes over here is that the Rishonim explain in a lot of different ways why it's dafka on wine as it relates to the haruge beitar. The Gemara in Bracha stuff, Mem Chesam Beis, says that the Bracha of Atova Metiv was, they were misaking the Bracha of Atova Metiv in Yavne, Keneged the Haruge Beter. That Adrianus Caesar made a Geder Lekarmo, and Nace happened that they didn't, he used the bodies as a Geder Lekarmo and as a fence around his vineyard, and the Nace happened that the bodies didn't decompose and they didn't spoil, they didn't start to smell. And that day that they were given over l'kvura, they were misake natova metiv, that they were able to bury the haruge beitar. It sounds so odd, meaning this bracha that expresses our deepest simcha comes really on the heels of tragedy. But it's on the heels of tragedy where there's a miktas nechama in the tragedy. Meaning one could suffer tragedy where tragedy is just tragedy. It just is, you know, what it is, and you know, you feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left you, that you've been abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatest simcha is knowing that even in our tragedy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't abandoned us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still paying attention. So even when it's a patch, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a little bit of a punishment, or a lot of a punishment, but to recognize that it's not that Hashem just went away, that Hashem is there with us, and that Hashem is the one who's pulling the strings, that's where the simcha comes from. So Haruge Beitar, we could have looked at it and said, Ribbono Shel left us. But no, they didn't decompose, they were neat on the kvura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace. That's the simcha. So we're masakin hatova metiv. Hatov shelo esrichu, hametiv shenitnu lekvura. It's a double hatova. It's hatov that they didn't decompose, and metiv that they were given over lekvura. And the brisa Maseches Gittin and Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that for 7 years they didn't, the goyim didn't have to be mezabel their kramim. They didn't have to fertilize their vineyards because the ground was so saturated with the blood of the haruge beitar that provided all the fertilizer needed, all the nutrients that the ground needed in order to. So it was this very tragic thing about the haruge beitar. All this blood was spilled. So this tragic thing, but that started at Tova Metiv. So why wine? What does haruge beitar have to do with wine? Right? So what's the connection with that and wine? So there's, he quotes here again, I would never have found all these different opinions. He quotes here four different opinions in Rishonim as to why it is dafka wine. First one that we all could have found is Tosos Maseches Tainus Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, and a few other Rishonim say that since he made from these bodies a geder lekerem, he made them as a fence around a vineyard and they didn't decompose, so Maseken Hatova Metiv on that which comes from a kerem. Now, if that were the reason, though, what kasha could you ask? What else comes from a kerem except for wine? What? Grapes. You should make Hatova Metiv when dessert, when they bring out fruit for dessert, when the grapes come out. No? Bechora. Why is it dafka wine? Meaning, if it's not about the quality of what wine is, but it's about a kerem, so you could argue, no, why is Adrianus Caesar keeping a kerem? He's not keeping a kerem so he could eat grapes. He's keeping a kerem to make wine. So that's what he was producing from that kerem. So that's why it's going to be dafka associated with wine. That's how Tosfos writes. Second possibility, the Rush, in that same Rush in Maseches Brachos that we saw, the Rush writes that since they didn't need to be mezabel their krumim because of the blood of the Aruge Beitar, and Yayin is like dam, meaning where else do we have a connection between Yayin and dam? Pesach. Right? We always associate, that's why we dafka have red wine, one of the reasons that we dafka have red wine at the Seder, that the Yayin is like the Alter Yayin Kiyas Adam is the real reason that the Pasuk says the real Yayin is red, but also we relate it to symbolic of dam. So when they were masaking the bracha, Tov Ma'amitiv, Zecher to the Nesav, Aruge Beter, so that's why they were masaking the dafka al Yayin. The third approach, and these are the ones that I probably would not have found, the Arzarua in Chelek Aleph Hilchasuda Simon Kufnan Hay writes that since the Harugim were left in a kerem, and the Sanhedrin was in the kerem at the time they were masaking this bracha, so al yedei the yayin they're going to remember the nes that happened in a kerem. So it's like a shmua tova that you mevarich hatova metiv, meaning it's reminiscent of everything that happened historically in the kerem. I thought the most interesting was Rabbeinu Bechai. He quotes from Rabbeinu Bechai over here. In Rabbeinu Bechai is a sefer called Shulchan Shel Arba. He also has another sefer called Kada Kemach. So in the I don't have Shulchan Shel Arba. I don't know what that sefer is. I'm not familiar with it. But Kada Kemach I do have. And Rabbeinu Bechai in Kada Kemach writes that since by Yeshino Yayin there's a riboy simcha, and the ikra simcha in the suda comes from wine, and the halacha generally is that in Olam Hazeh we're limited into how much simcha we're allowed to have. The Gemara says in Brachos, "Asa la'adam l'mali piv schok ba'olam hazeh," that a person is not allowed to get carried away with simcha in Olam Hazeh. That's where the Gemara says that at a wedding, Tosfos says that's where the Gemara tells the story. One of the weddings of the Amorayim, and they saw that the people were getting carried away, that they were violating this issue of l'mali piv schok. So what did they do to bring down the level of simcha? Familiar with this Gemara in Brachos? They broke a glass. So Tos says, from here we see that there's a minhag to break a glass at a wedding. So that's why we break a glass under the chuppah to sort of bring down that level of simcha. So that's why l'chora, that which many have the minhag of just putting a cheap light bulb in the napkin to break instead of a real glass, which at least has some value. Light bulb is almost worthless. So this is l'chora, that's not the best way to fulfill that minhag. And the other issue people have is what happens as soon as they break the glass. The whole point is it sounds like the breaking of the glass increased the simcha. The breaking of the glass is supposed to decrease, it's supposed to bring it down a little bit. So that's why a lot of people try to have the akpada, that they break the glass while they're singing Imeshkachech in the middle of the song or something, to reflect the proper mood of breaking the glass. That's what the breaking the glass represents. Interesting that Rabbeinu Bechai does not say that's the reason for breaking the glass. Rabbeinu Bechai writes, I believe, in Kada Kemach somewhere, that we break the glass as a zecher to the Shviras Haluchos, that the chuppah is a miniature Maimon Har Sinai. So the breaking of the glass is a zecher to the breaking of the luchos by Maimon Har Sinai, which also is a very beautiful drush. But anyway, so Rabbeinu Bechai says that simcha is achieved generally by yayin. If you have a shinu yayin, so then you're really drinking a lot, you're really having a lot of simcha. But there is a halach that a person is not allowed to be mali piv schok b'olam hazeh, and because of that, they were knowing at the time of a simcha to break a glass, like the Gemara says, even by a simcha shel mitzvah, and that's why that's all part of the concept that we have of gilu bira ada. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Maseches Brachos. Gilu bira ada. What a strange concept that one should rejoice with trembling. How does one rejoice with trembling? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes that when it comes to relationships of basar v'dam, those are davar v'hefecho. Gilu v'ra'ada are opposites of each other. If I see someone that I would rejoice to see, I don't experience ra'ada. I don't experience trembling. If I see someone that makes me tremble, I'm not rejoicing. But he says with the Almighty, with the Ribbono Shalom, it's not like that. With the Ribbono Shalom, gilu v'ra'ada go hand in hand. That I'm so invigorated and enthralled with the experience of coming close to the godless habore that while I'm trembling from the godless habore, it's an invigorating feeling to be so close. Lahavdil, it's like I remember of Mendel Blachman describing to us in Karen Biavna what it was like to meet Rav Moshe. He says, when you walked into to talk to Rav Moshe, you were standing in front of 600 times Shas. You know, you were standing in front of. He said, you would no matter who you are, you would never feel smaller than that. Like you couldn't possibly feel smaller than standing in front of Rav Moshe. But it was the best small feeling you'll ever have in your life. Meaning that sense of just like you're in the presence of Godless, and at the same time it's terrifying, but at the same time it's very invigorating to be in the presence of such Godless. So you have a similar type of thing. So he says, so a person, and while he's experiencing Simcha Shel Mitzvah, there has to be a little bit of Ra'ada together with the Simcha. So Chazal were dafka masakin at the time of the Simcha of Ribu Yayin to make the bracha of Hatova Ametiv on the Ruge Beitar. Meaning, Rabbeinu Bachai is also addressing the issue of, come on, Hatova Ametiv on this horribly sad event of Haruge Beitar? So says Rabbeinu Bachai, yes, that's the point. We're supposed to remember that there was a tragedy. That yes, we celebrate the silver lining of the tragedy and the fact that ultimately they were not Masriach and that they were Nitin Lukvura, but ultimately it was a tragedy. It was a terrible tragedy, Haruge Beitar. So that's what brings our Simcha down. So just when the Simcha is going to get the most out of hand by having a second bottle of wine being brought to the table, that's where it's the riskiest in terms of Simcha. So that's when we remind ourselves, Haruge Beitar, bring the level of Simcha down. That's how Rabbeinu Bachai understands the connection with Hatov HaMeitiv and Yayin. He's the only one that accounts for Hatov HaMeitiv being like a negative, you know, bringing back a little bit of a negative reminder, of a negative negative feeling. Okay, that's in terms of that sugya. I wanted to move on though to the next issue. So let's see the Gemara. So we had a machlokas on the bottom of Daf Kuf Amud Beis. If a person says Kiddush and Shul, or hears Kiddush and Shul, and then he comes home, so do you have to say Kiddush again? Rav says, no, you don't need Kiddush Makom Sudas, so you don't have to say Kiddush again. Shmuel says, of course you have to say Kiddush again. One requires Kiddush B'Makom Sudas. That was Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. But both Rav and Shmuel agreed that for sure, Yedeyayin Lo Yatsu, if you want to drink more wine when you get home, Vada, you're going to have to make a new Bar Priya Gafen. Yedeshinu Makom, you went to a new place. Of course you're going to have to say a new Bar Priya Gafen. So comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he's Shita number three, a third opinion over here. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan, three lines to the bottom, Kafal Vamanav, Rabbi Yochanan, Af Yedeyayin Nami Yatsu. That you're even yotzei the bracha bar priya gafen. You said you heard kiddush and shul. You can go home and continue to have more wine without a bar priya gafen. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan tamei. This Rabbi Yochanan shitaso. Damer Rabbi Chanan bar Abayi. Amar Rabbi Das. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Echad shinoi yayin. Ve'echad shinoi makom. Ein sarach levarech. That whether you have a shinoi yayin, meaning whether you have a new bottle of wine is brought to your table, or whether you have a change of location, you go from shul to home, you don't need a new bar priya gafen. So it's Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. Great. So Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of the din of shinui makom by brachos. It sounds like you can eat a sandwich here, go home, continue eating your sandwich at home, and no problem of you don't have to say a new bracha. The shinui makom does not require a new bracha. So right away the Gemara says, what? Meisvei shinui makom sarich levarich. How could you tell me Shinui Makom does not require a new bracha? We have a Ferush Abraisa that Shinui Makom is Tzarech Levarech, that it does require a new bracha. Says Gemara, but Shinui Yayin ain't Tzarech Levarech, it's only Shinui Yayin does not require a new bracha, but Shinui Makom does? Question mark. Says Gemara, Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan Tiyufta. Okay, no, so it's a Tiyufta on Rabbi Yochanan. So it's a checkmate, a double Tiyufta. Rashbam writes that whenever we have a single Tiyufta, it means that it's not as strong of a question, and there might be an answer to that question. When you have a double tiyufta, you have a lashon of a double tiyufta, so that means that there's no answer to that question. You can never paskin like it like that. That's completely rejected the halacha. So Rabbi Yochanan's shita that there's no din of shinui makom brachos is rejected. There is certainly a din of shinui makom brachos. So that's what we're now going to discuss for the next daf or so. The Gemara is going to get into this sugya of shinui makom brachos. There are a lot of details. It's important to see the Gemara through to the end before you really start analyzing the Rishonim, because a lot of the details overlap, from one to the other. So you'll be analyzing the first few lines, and you won't really get it if you haven't seen the other factors that the Gemara brings up. So if you haven't done it yet, I would recommend reading through Kafalef and Beis, Kafalef and Manal, just going through a lot of Gemara over here. But one thing we're going to focus on today, and just today, we'll see how far we get, is we just discussed laws of makom. on Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. The whole Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph could be summarized in three words. The whole Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph is about Kiddush B'makom Suda. So we've had a lot to talk. We had a whole shiur on how you define the word makom. Good. So now we're going to be talking about Shinoi Makom, but not with regards to Kiddush, with regards to Hilchos Brachos. So the natural assumption would be that however we define Makom when it comes to Kiddush is going to be how we define Makom when it comes to Brachos. That would be the natural assumption. If we find that there's a discrepancy, we're going to need to address that. Why there would be a discrepancy. Now, to complicate matters, normally it would be easy. Just look how the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say about going from room to room within a house? What does the Gemara say about going mipina lepina within a single cheder? So you can look at what the Gemara says about that on Amud Aleph by Kiddush Makom Suda. Look at what the Gemara says about it on Amud Beis by Hilchos Brachos. See if they line up and they're good, and then you'll take it from there. What complicates things over here is that it wasn't clear what the Gemara said about it on Amud Aleph, nor will it be clear on Amud Beis because there are multiple girsaos. So it's kedai before we even see our Gemara to chazer over what the Gemara said on Amud Aleph by Kiddush Makom Suda. The Gemara said, Savur Mina, on Kafal Vamrav, that we had a Hava Mina, that when we said that you need Kiddush to be Makom Suda, that Hani Mili Mi Bayis Le Bayis. That Kiddush Makom Suda means that if you go from one house to another, it's problematic. Avul Mi Makom Le Makom Bechad Beisalo. But to go from one room to another in the same house is not a problem. So then the Gemara says, yes, it is a problem, because Shmuel once went from the roof downstairs and he said a new Kiddush. So even from one room to another room within the same house is a problem. That's what it sounded from our girsa of the Gemara on Amud Aleph. What about from one corner of a room to another corner of a room? Is that a problem? Mipina lepina b'chad, b'chad makom, is that a problem? So it sounds from the Gemara, from the simple reading of the Gemara, that's not a problem, lepina lepina, because that's that. We went through how far the problem goes. The problem goes from one room to another room, but with lepina lepina is not going to be a problem. However, there was another girsa. Tosfos over there, Avu Makom Makom writes, Avu Yesh Svarim at the end, Miu Yesh Svarim de Garcinan, Hacha Mipina Lepina. Some svarim are gores that the hava amina was that from one corner of the room to another corner of the room is okay. Kamash mulan that even that is a problem. That even going from one corner of the room to another corner of the room is considered a different makom. So given that there are two ways to read the Gemara on Amud Aleph, and one way of reading that Gemara would suggest that going from a corner of a room to another corner of a room is still considered the same makom, and the other way of reading it would consider the corner of a room to another corner of a room different makomos. Now let's look at our Gemara. So now let's see. Kaval from Beis. So that was about Kiddush. How we define makom for Kiddush. How do we define makom for Hilchos Brachos? So Yosef Ravidi Baravin Kamed Rav Chista V'Yosef Rav Chista V'Kam Rishmed Rav Huna. Ravidi Baravin was saying in front of Rav Chista, sitting in front of Rav Chista. Rav Chista was saying over in the name of Rav Huna. Whenever Rav Yosef Kameh, what does that tell you about the relationship? He was a Talmud. Almost always, he was a Talmud. We just had in today's Daf Yomi, it's a Machlokas Rav Kana Rav Yehuda. It says that Tana Rav Yehuda Kameh, Tana Rav Kana Kameh Rav Yehuda, something like that. This Machlokas Rishonim had a paskin. Because Mishnah says the Rabban paskins like he paskins because he assumes that if someone was sitting in front of the other one, then the other one was the Rebbe, and the one who was sitting in front of him was the Talmud, and that's why paskin ein halacha k'talmud makom harav. We always paskin like the Rebbe over the Talmud. Is that true, by the way, that we always paskin like the Rebbe over the Talmud? There's a conflicting rule in halacha. What's the conflicting rule? It says the exact opposite almost. There's a rule called hilchas kibasra'a. What's hilchas kibasra'a mean? Passing like the later one. So when do you say Yenel Chachtal Makom Rav? When do you say Chesuk Basra?
Same age.
What?
Same age.
So Chesuk Basra is only when it's not a Talmud, you're saying. When it's some random guy that comes later on. So some say that it really depends on which generation. In the earlier generations, it was Yenel Chachtal Makom Rav, and then Mi'abai V'Rav Veila. In the generation of Bai Ramanan, then it was Hilchsa Kabasra. Okay, that's one approach. Others say that the Magalis Yam writes in Masech Sanhedrin that no. Ein halacha k'talmud b'makom harav means that if the Talmud and the Rav argue about it, b'feirush, they spoke about it together. And the rabbi heard what the Talmud said, and he said, I heard what you said, and I still think you're wrong, and I'm right. So then we're going to pass on like the Rebbe. What if the Rebbe dies, and then the Talmud comes up with a chiddush against his Rebbe, and he never got a chance to tell the Rebbe. The Rebbe never got to hear the Talmud's point of view. So then we say that the Talmud is going to be correct, because the Rebbe never rejected what the Talmud said. So then we're going to say the Hilchsa Kabasra. The Rif has a dubious comment at the end of Erevin. He says, the reason why do we always pass on the Talmud Bavli against the Talmud Yerushalmi? Shouldn't we pass on the Yerushalmi? The Chachma Avira Da'arad Yisrael Machkim, you know, you have Kedusha Seretz Yisrael. So why are we passing like Bavli? So he says, because the Bavli came later. In Hilchsa Kibasra, we pass on like a later opinion. So that's questionable. The Hilchsa Kibasra means, why is it? What's the Svara? We believe in Yerida Sadaros, no? That things get worse as generations go on. So why would we say Hilchsa Kibasra ever? So the old midget standing on the shoulders of giants idea. That yes, they were much greater than me. They were a giant. But I could reach a little higher because I'm standing on their shoulders, meaning I have everything that they knew, plus a little more, very little more, because I'm just a midget. But everything they know, I know, plus a little more. So the Rif understands, presumably, that the Bavli knew the whole Yerushalmi, that everyone in Bavel was already fully familiar with everything that says Yerushalmi. That's not so clear that's actually the case. Okay, for whatever reason, we pass like Bavli. But anyway, so we have all the... We didn't say anything yet. Yes, Rav Yidi Barav HaKavei Rav Chista. Rav Yidi Barav was sitting in front of Rav Chista. Yes, Rav Chista was coming from Shmei Rav Huna. Rav Chista was saying over a shir, he heard from Rav Huna. Hada Amrit Shinei Makam Sarach Levarech. When we say that if you switch locations, you need to say a new bracha. Lo Shanuela Mi Bayis Lebayis. That's only if you go from one house to another house. Aval mi makom le makom lo, but from one makom to another makom, that's then you're not going to have to make a new bracha. Meaning, you start a meal in your kitchen, you decide to go to your family room or whatever, you don't have to say a new bracha. That's fine. But you notice there's a girsa on the side, the Oz Beis and the Mesoras Shas. Lo shanu ella mi bayis le bayis, aval, instead of contrasting it with makom le makom, aval mi pina le pina lo. But from one corner of a room to another corner of a room, it's not going to be a problem. Sounds like if you go from one room to another room, that is considered a different makom. So, if we have the girsa the way we have it in front of us, that mi makom l'makom, from one room to another room, is not considered a shinei makom, and you have the girsa the way our girsa was on Amud Aleph, that Shmuel would say a new kiddush when he went from his roof downstairs, apparently it's because it is a shinui makom to go from one room to another room on Amud Aleph. So then you can have a stira. And on Amud Aleph it was considered a shinui makom, over here it's not considered a shinui makom. That might be the motivation in changing the gears over here. In order to keep our Gemara consistent with Amud Aleph, we need to change our girsa to say, no, when you go from one corner to another corner of the same room, that's not a shinoi makom. But one room to another, we already saw in Amud Aleph, that is a shinoi makom. Shmuel had to make a new kiddush when he went from one place to another. See, if you change our girsa and you keep the girsa on Amud Aleph the way it is, so then we're really good. By kiddush makom suda, and by us, it's going to work out okay. If you look in Tosos, Dibur Maschal Aval on Amud Aleph, so what did Tosos say? Av makom makom v'chad beis apirish mecheda lebayis am mebayis laliyah kamo meyigra la'ara av mepina lepina yesh kiddush ki hechi delo chashuv shinoi makom besamuch. What's he talking about? From one corner of the room to another corner of the room, that's no problem, just like we're going to see very soon in our Gemara. Ulekaman gabi shinoi makom dekamer lo shanel mebayis lebayis. And later on, our Gemara is going to say that only mibayis lebayis is a problem, is considered shinui makom. Umi yushnei makomus bechad bayis kari le mibayis lebayis. But that bayis lebayis includes even going from one room to another. So that's two different locations. But mipina lepina, that's okay. So essentially what Tosus does, and the Rosh Ovir also, is that they're gores mipina lepina on Amud Beis, in order to make it conform to what we have in Amud Aleph. And then Tov says, but some just change the gear on Amun Aleph and make it conform that way. So, fine. But what about those Rishonim that have the Girsa in both places the same exact way? Right? Meaning they have the Girsa on Amun Aleph, that lo shanu ela mi bayis lebayis al makom lemakom lo, that makom lemakom you would think is not a shinu makom, kamash v'lan Ravanan says that yes it is a shinu makom. So then Amun Aleph will be telling us the makom lemakom is a shinu makom, and then Amun Beis Yav makom lemakom is not a shinu makom. So what do we do with those Rishonim? What are we going to do if you keep... Meaning, what do we do with our Girsa? Essentially, what do we do with our Girsa? So what's the Mahalik? How would you make our Girsa work? So no, what would you think? If you have our Girsa and Amun Aleph, and our Girsa and Amun Beis, so Amun Aleph is telling you going from room to room is a new place, Amun Beis is telling you going from room to room is not a new place, it's the same old place. So how could that be? So okay, you could say it's machlokas and sugyas, and that inochinami, whatever the definition of makom is, legabe kiddush is going to be the same definition of makom legabe brachos, but it's machlokas and gemaras. Stam of the gemara holds one way there, one way here, so you got to figure out how you want to possibly. Okay, that's one way to deal with it. Anything else? What do you mean? Oh, then maybe there's a difference between the dinim of kiddush versus the dinim of hilchos brachos. What's called a makom for kiddush b'makom su'uda may be different than what's called a makom for hilchos brachos. How would you be mechalek though? So what's it saying? That for kiddush, going to a different room is an entirely different makom. But for hilchos brachos, a different room is still the same makom. Why? Why are we more broad in our definition of makom for hilchos brachos than we are for kiddush? For kiddush, we're much more limiting. You got to be dafka on that spot, in that room. But by hilchos brachos, as long as you're in the same house.
Does that have to do maybe with you make kiddush dafka when you're doing a suda. So the suda has to be placed, but when you're making brachos, hilchos brachos, it's like a suda sarai, it's like all over the place. But like, you're making...
You're getting there. What's the yisod of the din in hilchos brachos? Why is it that a shinui makom messes me up? Why would I need a new bracha just because I go to a different place? Hesachadats. By Su'uda, by Brachos, it's a Dinan Hasachadas. By Kiddush, why do I need to be in the same Makom? So Rashbam quoted it, Rashi quoted it. Where does it come from? V'karasa l'shabbis oneg b'makom kriya. At this place where you say Kiddush, that's where your oneg has to be. See, by Hilchos Brachos, the halacha is you can't be in a different Makom. By Kiddush, the halacha is you must be in the same makom. It's a difference. Understand? Meaning by hilchos brachos, it's not a din that you must be in the same makom. It's a din that you can't be mesiach das. You can't go somewhere entirely different. By kiddush, the din is you must be in the same makom. Karas l'shabbos oneg. The makom of yisudah has got to be the makom that you say your kiddush. When you go from room to room, it's neither an entirely different makom, nor is it the same makom. It's somewhere in between. It's from cheder to cheder. It's from one room to another. When you go to a different bayis, that's a different makom. When you're in the same room, that's the same makom. When you're in a different room in the same bayis, that's neither. It's neither a different makom, nor is it the same. So when it comes to kiddush, where you need to be in the same makom, well, it's not the same makom when you're in a different room. When it comes to chos brachos, it's just an isra v'esach hadas that you can't be in a different makom. So then it is a different makom when it comes to the kiddush. This is how the Maram Chalva explains, doesn't spell it all out exactly, but this is what he basically explains to be the chilik between the two cases, between the Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. The other way of explaining it is that there's a difference between kiddush makom suda in that that kiddush makom suda is a din of kvius. Is a more what Ari was saying, that it's a din of kvius, that you have to be kavua in that place. That's kiddush makom suda. Kvius is where you're koveya suda. It's a din of where you're being koveya your meal. So you're koveya a meal in the dining room. You're koveya a meal in the room that you're eating. Whereas by brachos, it's not a din of kvius. It's a din in just moving from it's a, again, like we said before, like a din in Hesach Hadas, but it's not a din in Kvius. It's a din in being in a different makom. Yeah.
So, according to that, so if
it's
a
kibbutz
the mindset of doing something later, going to
across
the street, a different house,
that'd
be fine. Because
right.
Your
kibbutz
wasn't for that specific place at the beginning.
Oh, that might be enough kamina. Right? That might be enough kamina. Yeah. But l'chora, that doesn't work, right? We would hold that doesn't work. That's a good point. All right, we'll stop here. We'll go further in this sugya be'ezras Hashem tomorrow.
I can't stay. Okay.